The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good morning. Today is Friday, February 19th, 2021, and the time is 8:30 a.m. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll check. Hector, are you present?
Yes, present.
Okay, Larry, are you present?
I am here, present.
Okay, we have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the Commission, you will need to use the webinar platform in order to be recognized. You must use the raise your hand feature on your screen and submit the agenda item you wish to comment on using the question feature. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items 10 minutes. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee member meeting held on December 11, 2020. These minutes were circulated to the members of the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes?
No.
Okay, hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on December 11th, 2020?
Chairman, I'll make a motion. This is Larry.
Okay, Larry, is there a second?
Hector will second it.
Hector, seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. We'll now move on to item B. Commissioner Jones, would you like to please give us your report?
Yes, Madam Chairman, thank you. SML has no outstanding audit activities to report.
Okay. Next, Commissioner Pettijohn, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our report on audit activities is on page 6 of the audit packet. We have provided for you here two completed IT audits. Those will be discussed in executive session because they address cybersecurity. The next two items are DPS audits. These are like access to fingerprint records and things. The field work has been completed on that. Both reports have been recently received. Those will be presented to you at the next audit committee meeting. And then moving on from there, we have pending items related to the Garza Gonzalez audits. We are in the early stages and just beginning the TIFI fund investment administration audit work. So that is just beginning. And that's really all we have for you today in terms of outstanding audit items.
Okay, great. Thank you. Commissioner Cooper.
Good morning. Our report starts on page 7. The first item would be the State Office of Risk Management on site to report consultation. It's been completed, and we'll discuss that in just a minute. Second item is the Department of Information Resources cybersecurity framework assessment. That work has begun. The comptroller's post audit account, that work has begun, so it's pending. Same thing on Garza Gonzalez. They are auditing and reviewing our consumer assistance. And that I think is just started. And they also are reviewing our management information system, but that won't begin until April. And then as same as Leslie said, the DPS is going to do our site secure verification on our background checks, and that will begin in March. So then our SWARM audit begins on page 8, and Tammy, if you want to briefly go over that.
Yes, good morning. This is Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. On this on-site consultation, on December 10, 2020, the State Office of Risk Management, they conducted an on-site consultation for the Department of Banking as part of risk management operations. During this visit, the State Office of Risk Management performed a walkthrough of the State Finance Commission building and verified there were no present hazards. In addition, they discussed our workers' comp claims. In their report, they commended the department for exemplary housekeeping and exemplary implementation of COVID-19 safety measures, such as sanitizing stations, signage, and enhancement of our HVAC system. Also, SORM recommended that we replace the existing material safety data sheets with safety data sheets and the storage area where cleaning supplies are kept. That recommendation was handed promptly and is complete. That concludes my report.
Hey, Sammy, I've got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So on the chart on page 10 of the report, it says that there's zero claims, I guess, that happened in 2020. Is that it?
Yes.
Because it talks about two active workers comp. So
yes,
do we
ma'am.
Have two active workers comp that's going to have some potential costs to us in 2021?
Yes, ma'am. Those are basically a year behind, so they have not reported on 2020 yet.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's for one employee, yes, that has two ongoing workers' comp claims.
Okay. I thought that that's what it meant. I just wanted to double check. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. No problem.
Okay. Any other comments, Commissioner Cooper?
That's all we have. Thank you.
Okay. We will now move on to item C. Commissioner Jones, would you please give us your report?
Yes, ma'am. The SML's report is on page 17, our investment officer report, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Hearing none, can we move on with Commissioner Pettijohn, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to call on Moran Diamond to provide the investment officer report for OCCC.
Good morning, Moran Diamond, Director of Licensing and Finance. The investment officer report for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner begins on page 18 of your packet. We have normal activity in the recovery fund with an ending balance of $160,000. Next, moving to TFE again, for the Texas Financial Education Endowment, not much activity to report, but the quarter completed with an ending balance of $8.51 million in the endowment fund.
Okie doke. Next, we'll move on to Commissioner Cooper.
Okay, our reports start on page 20. We have no seized funds, so that is no activity. On page 21 would be our trust-funded prepaid guarantee fund. Ends with a balance of $1,380,000. The additions of $10,361 would be basically restitutions that we've collected over this period. It also shows you where the items are held. Two of the items show that they've matured, CDs have matured, and those have been renewed, both of them for a year. One of them at a different financial institution, and the earnings on that are down from where we were. And on page 22, someone have a question? Then on page 22, we have the insurance-funded prepaid funeral guarantee fund with a balance of $721,000, and that would be basically just the normal activity. And that's all we have, Madam Chair.
Okie doke. All right, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2021 first quarter investment officer report?
This is Hector, so moved.
Hector? Is there a second?
This is Larry. I will second.
All right. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. We'll now move on to item D. Commissioner Jones, would you please give us your report?
Thank you. SML's report begins on page 23, our financial report, and I'm going to call on Antonia Antoff to begin that report.
Good morning. This is Antonia Antoff, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our first quarter financials begin on page 23. The balances show 25% over budget revenues. This is mostly due to a very increased level of activity in new mortgage license originator, individual licenses, and we have also excess from thrift assessment due to growth in the industry. In the expenditure portion, our excess, we have some excess due to vacancies that we haven't filled. And of course, no travel was incurred during the first quarter. It was not budgeted either. So I would be glad to answer any questions on the financials before I move on. Our liquidity report is on page 25. We are at 9.3 months of reserves at the end of the first quarter. We had budgeted to be at 7.8 months and under 6 months at the end of fourth quarter. However, during the first quarter, as I said, we saw unprecedented growth in both our industries, very high volume of new individual license applications, growth in asset size of the thrift industry, high number of thrift applications and fees, resulting in higher than anticipated revenues. These trends continue during the fourth quarter, and it seems like they will continue through the same pattern. So at year end, we will be at 12 months of reserves at fiscal year, at the end of the fiscal year. So I will turn it over to Commissioner Jones to present our plan to reduce the excess amounts.
Thank you, Antonia. According to the Finance Commission liquidity policy, if the unreserved funds of a finance agency are projected to exceed 6 months of budgeted operating expenditures for four consecutive quarters, the agency creates a plan to reduce the excess amount and reports it to the Finance Commission. As Antonia mentioned, at this point, our unreserved funds are projected to exceed the policy limit for four consecutive quarters. We have laid out our plan after carefully considering the available options. Absent any objections from the Finance Commission, industry, or stakeholders, here are the action steps we intend to take. There are six steps, two are on the revenue side, four are on the expenditure side. So starting with revenue side, one, to reduce the fees for new individual mortgage licenses, effective March 1st. Secondly, to not collect third and fourth quarter assessments from the thrifts and to lower thrift application funds. These first two action steps will directly impact the amount of revenues we collect. As you may recall, Sunset recommended that the Finance Commission agencies set their fees annually in their budget, the budget be approved by the Finance Commission, and not be adjusted during the fiscal year. That is how SML has been conducting itself. However, at this point, in order to lower cash reserves and be in the cash reserve liquidity policy limit, we need to make these revenue adjustments during fiscal year 21. The guidelines included in the Finance Commission budget policy are that significant changes in fees and assessments should be limited and must be communicated to the Finance Commission, the industries, and the stakeholders. This is a limited occurrence in order to help us get into compliance with the liquidity policy. It is not intended to be an ongoing pattern of practice, limited occurrence. We have ensured that each area of regulation will still have sufficient funds to cover their anticipated cost of regulation. So thrift will continue paying for itself and mortgage for itself. Those are the steps on the revenue side. On the expenditure side, which is starting with the third step, we will continue to fill existing vacancies. We will evaluate the need for additional FTEs necessary for regulating the higher mortgage licensee population. And we will complete a couple of information resources projects that are now in the planning stages. We are projecting that these steps will address the majority of the excess funds. Now, step six, should we need it, is that any remaining excess at year end will be addressed when the budget for fiscal year 2020 is built by reducing fees, including renewal fees for fiscal 22, and reducing assessments, further bringing us in compliance with the liquidity policy during fiscal year 22. We'd be glad to answer questions.
So I guess it's good that the economy in Texas for mortgages and in new home, you know, people buying homes, et cetera, is something that we should all be happy about. So that's a good thing. And I think that your plan addresses getting us into compliance, you know, through the budget process of next year. So I think there's a positive there. Any comments from any of the members?
No comment.
Okay. All right, based on that, I think, thank you for your report, Commissioner Jones and Commissioner Pettijohn. Do you want to present your report, please?
Yes, I would also like to call on Moran Diamond. She'll provide the report for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner. Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. The financial statement for the OCCC is on page 26 of your packet. In Q1 of FY21, total revenue came in at 115% of the projected budget. With regard to the pawn industry, increased revenue in this industry group is due to an increase in unforeseen late filing fees collected by the agency. Moving to registered entities, the positive variance is due to timing issues related to the renewal cycles, most of which started or completed in Q1. Moving to expenditures, overall expenditures were 18% under budget. As you can see, personnel, these expenditures are about 12% under budget, primarily due to a planned delay in filling vacant positions. And then on travel expenditures, those are lower due to COVID-19. Moving to the, any questions on the financial statement? I'm happy to answer those. Okay, moving to the liquidity report on page 28 of the packet. Cash at the end of the period was about $13.9 million. The quarter ended with 9.2 months of unreserved cash for future operations. And we do anticipate that number will go down in the coming months and quarters. And just a reminder that FY20 ended with 5.9 months of unreserved cash. That's all I have, unless there are any questions for us.
I don't have any. Anybody else?
Not here. This is Larry now.
Okay.
No questions.
All right. Hearing none, Commissioner Cooper, can you please give your report?
My report starts on page 29. Sammy Chadley, if you would take over.
Good morning again. Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. Page 29 is our operating statement for first quarter of fiscal 21. Our actual revenues were at 103.1% of budget, and actual expenditures were at 97.1% of budget. Page 30 is our variance explanations for the first quarter of 21. I will go over three items. The first one, penalties on the revenue side, penalties, non-depository supervision. This variance is mainly due to the higher than anticipated collected penalties from unlicensed money service businesses. Second item, employee compensation and benefits. We have a positive variance there, and it relates to vacant staff positions. Vacancies in terms of FTEs as of first quarter of 21, we had 9 administrative vacancies and 11 examiner vacancies. The last item is miscellaneous operating costs, and we have a negative variance, and that relates to the higher than anticipated assessments from the State Office of Risk Management for workers' comp claims. Any questions so far? Page 31 is our liquidity report for the first quarter of 21. Our unreserved cash balance is at 3.23 months, which is within the liquidity policy guidelines of 2 to 6 months. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Sammy. Anything further, Commissioner Cooper?
That's all I have, unless any questions from the members.
Okay, hearing none, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2021 first quarter financial statements?
This is Hector Sedna, so moved.
Hector, is there a second?
Second, this is Larry.
Hey, Larry, any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. We'll now move on to item E, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Item E, I believe, is the report on the activities of the Texas Financial Education Endowment. And I'd like to call on Andrea Johnson to provide that report.
I'm Andrea Johnson, the Grant and Financial Education Coordinator for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. The Grant Advisory Committee currently has one vacancy, Supervisory Compliance Examiner Justin Acola with the Texas Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending has been recommended to fill the vacancy. Semi-annual grant reports and reimbursement requests for the second quarter of the 2020-2021 TV grant cycle have been submitted. During the second reporting period, a total of $65,643.90 has been requested by 9 organizations. This reporting period was from June 1st to December 31st, 2020. The second semi-annual TIF report will be available during the April Finance Commission meeting. The Grant Advisory Committee met on February 1st to discuss the current and upcoming grant cycle. Additionally, the GAC approved a request from Family Elder Care to amend their grant from a one-year term to a two-year term. Right now, a review of existing grant documents is underway, including the grant application review process, and recipient reporting documents. The 2020-2023 TIFI grant cycle will open for applications this summer. A timeline is included in today's audit committee packet for the 2022-2023 TIFI grant cycle. Thank you.
Okay. We'll now move on to item F, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Yeah, item F is the appointment of the replacement for the SML designated position on the Grant Advisory Committee. This was a seat previously held by Stephen F. Shields, and SML has recommended that Justin Acola be appointed to that position. And we would ask the Finance Commission to approve that appointment. And there's information about Justin and his bio is found in the packet on page 32.
Okay. I'll make the motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the appointment of Justin Acola as a new Grant Advisory Committee member. Do I hear a second?
I'll second. This is Larry. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Larry. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item G. The Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner will need to discuss this item in executive session. It is 8:54 a.m. on February 19th, 2021. At this time, the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission will go into closed session pursuant to Government Code Sections 551.076 and 551.089. For the record, Commissioner Pettijohn, please state who will be attending the executive session.
Yes, for the executive session for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, we'll have Thomas White, the Chief Information Security Officer for the OCCC, Justin Schaefer, Kimberly Wilson, myself, and Christine Graham. I believe that's everybody from our side.
Okay. At this time, the Audit Committee will go into a secure webinar platform and the audience may remain on this webinar. Audit Committee members, at this time, please disconnect from this webinar. The Audit Committee will return to the webinar upon conclusion of the executive session. We are anticipating executive session lasting approximately 20 minutes. So members, if you could please disconnect and go to the webinar that you received the link to, and I will pick up there. Okay. Okay, this is Molly, I'm back.
Oh, Larry's back.
Hello, welcome back. We are waiting for Hector.
Okay.
We are still waiting for Hector.
I'm on the line now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, you may continue.
Okay, great. It's 9:24 a.m. on February 19th, 2021, and the commission is now back in open session. No action was taken in closed session. I believe there is no further business. This meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned. The time is 9:24 a.m.